The Tempest, an act wise, scene wise summary. Act 1, Scene 1. A ship and its passengers in danger on the sea. A ship is facing great danger on the sea because of a severe storm which has begun to blow. The storm is accompanied by the thunder and lightning. The ship carries certain very important persons, including Alonso, the King of Naples, and a number of members of his retinue. On account of this storm, the ship has got separated from a number of other ships which were escorting it. The boatswain is busily giving instructions to the sailors regarding what they should do to save the sea from foundering. Some of the passengers come out of their cabins below and appears on the deck in the state of a great fear. They want to know from the boatswain whether the ship is safe, but the boatswain is no mood to listen to these men because he is very busy in performing his own duties as an officer in charge of the work of the sailors. The boatswain rebukes these men of interrupting his work. One of the lords, whose name is Gonzalo, tries to pacify the boatswain. But the boatswain asks all them to go back into their cabins and not interfere with his work. Gonzalo, feeling impatient, says that boatswain is a man who by his very looks seemed destined to be hanged on the gallows and not the kind of man who get drowned in the sea. Such being the boatswain's destiny, his ship would remain afloat, and the passengers should therefore have no fear of any kind. But the storm now becomes even more furious, and everybody loses all hope. King Alonso and his son Ferdinand are now praying to God for the safety of their lives, and the lords accompanying them also now think they would soon perish Gonzalo. However, still maintains that the boatswain's destiny would save all of them. What he means is that if the boatswain is destined to be hanged on the gallows on the land, the ship would not get wrecked and the passengers would therefore not be drowned. Act 1, Scene 2. Prospero's exercise of his supernatural powers. We are now taken to an island on which Prospero lives with his young daughter Miranda. But for the presence of these two persons and another whose name is Caliban, this island is uninhabited. Prospero is a man who, through his intensive studies and meditation over several years, has been able to acquire supernatural powers. He tells Miranda that the storm blowing upon the sea had been caused by him by the power of his magic blowing magic. Miranda appeals to him to stop the storm because she had seen the ship being shaken by the storm on the verge of getting wrecked. She says that the ship might already have got wrecked and that the passengers on the boat must, in that case, have perished. She says that her heart had been moved to deep pity when she witnessed the plight of sea passengers who were, however, helplessly and hopelessly. Prospero assures her that the ship is safe and the passengers on the ship have also been saved by him through his magic powers. Prospero's account of his past life. Prospero then proceeds to acquaint Miranda with the certain important facts of which she has so far remained ignorant. He tells her that he was originally a ruler, and that he had been driven out of his dominions by his own brother Antonio, to whom he had entrusted the administration of his country. He used to be the Duke of Milan, but being more interested in the study of books than in running the administration of the country, he had asked his brother Antonio to take the charge of the administration. Antonio had proved to be a treacherous man, and while administering the country, that man had begun to grow more and more ambitious. Finding his brother Prospero deeply engrossed his books, Antonio had been gradually appointing his own favorites to positions of power and authority in the government. Antonio had entered into an agreement with Alonso, the King of Naples. According to this agreement, Antonio was to pay to King Alonso an annual tribute of money and was also to accept a position of subordination to him in return for the king of Naples helping him to drive out his brother Prospero from Milan, thus making it possible for him to become the Duke of Milan in his brother's place. The king of Naples, having been Prospero's enemy over a long period of time, had readily accepted the terms of his agreement. The king of Naples and Antonio had been ousted Prospero from power, and Antonio had then himself become the Duke of Milan. At the same time, Antonio had, with the help of king of the Naples, made arrangements of the expulsion of Milan of Prospero and Miranda, who at that time was an infant. Prospero and Miranda had been put in a frail boat which had no equipment, no ropes, no sails, and no mast, and which was sure to get wrecked in the sea. Prospero and Miranda have drifted on the sea for many days, and by sheer good fortune had landed safely on this island. They had remained safe partly on account of their good luck and out of sympathy. Secretly placed food, water, and other essential commodities in the boat, and had at the same time also placed a large number of books which Prospero needed badly and which he valued more than even his dukedom. Prospero's reason for causing a stir. Miranda is amazed to hear this account of the past from her father, who also informs her that she had arrived on the island 12 years ago, and that during this period he had been able to acquire supernatural powers. Through the study of his books and through his meditations during this time, Prospero had also been teaching Miranda, and had been able to bring her off in a manner in which the daughter of the Duke should be brought up. To Miranda's question why Prospero's enemies had not killed him outright instead of merely driving him out of the realm, Prospero replies that Antonio and the others knew that the people of Milan had a great love and respect for Prospero, and that in case the people were to come to know that Prospero had been killed, they would rise in revolt against Prospero's killers. Miranda then asks why Prospero had caused a storm to blow on the sea. Prospero replies that the mysterious operation of fate, his enemies have now fallen into his hands. Alonso, Antonio, and several others were sailing towards Naples, and on coming to know on their presence on the sea, so near to the island, he had decided to deal with them suitably. He had therefore caused a storm to blow on the sea so that he could have all those men in his power. All the sea passengers safe on the island. Just at this moment, Miranda fell asleep, partly because Prospero wills her to go to sleep. Then Ariel appears with an account of how he has carried out all Prospero's instructions. Ariel is not a human being, but a spirit of the air. The spirit also possesses supernatural powers. In accordance with Prospero's instructions previously given, Ariel had caused a storm to blow on the sea, had caused flashes and lightning in the clouds, had made the clouds produce thunderous sounds, and had by this means given rise to great fear in the minds of the sailors and the passengers on the board of the ship by which King Alonso and the others were sailing towards Naples. Ariel now tells Prospero that all the passengers had jumped into the sea when it seemed to them that the ship was about to sink. Ariel had been so arranged by his supernatural powers that Ferdinand had landed upon the island safely, and that the others too had safely landed upon the island through Ariel had scattered them on the island in groups. Ferdinand being all alone, as for the ship and the sailors on that ship, Ariel had stowed them safely in the harbor. The sailors had fallen into deep slumber partly because of their own exertions during the storm, and partly on account of a spell which Ariel had cast upon them. The other ships, which had formed part of the fleet, had at first been scattered by Ariel and had subsequently assembled together again, and were now sailing back to Naples over the Mediterranean Sea. Prospero feels happy to know that Ariel has faithfully carried out all his instructions.
Ariel's demand for freedom rejected.
Ariel has been in the service of Prospero for a number of years. Ariel now appeals to Prospero to release him from his service. But Prospero replies that Ariel had promised to serve him for a certain number of years, and that the stipulated period had not yet ended. Ariel says that he has been serving Prospero without murmuring or complaining, and that he now deserves to be set at liberty. Prospero then reminds Ariel of those days when Ariel was a prisoner in a cloven pine tree, and when Ariel used to cry and howl in pain. Ariel had been imprisoned in that oak tree by the witch Sycorax, who had been expelled from her own native town of Algiers, and who had taken refuge on this island at a time when she was pregnant. Ariel had at the first been serving to the witch Sycorax, but soon afterwards he refused to carry out some of her orders because, being a delicate spirit, he found it loathsome to perform the foul and disgusting task imposed upon him by her. Thereupon she confined him within a pine tree. It was Prospero who had emancipated Ariel by his supernatural powers. Because Ariel's own powers had proved ineffective against the greater powers of the witch Sycorax. Prospero also reminds Ariel that before his own arrival there, this island had no other inhabitants except Sycorax. Ariel and the child whom Sycorax had, after a time, given birth, the name of Sycorax's child, who was a male, was Caliban. Subsequently, Prospero had been making use of Caliban as a servant. Caliban snubbed and rebuked by Prospero. When Ariel is reminded of all these facts, which Ariel had of course known fully well, he apologizes to Prospero for having demanded his freedom. He then says that he would continue to serve Prospero till the end of the period which had originally been agreed upon between them. Prospero thereupon gives Ariel a few more orders to carry out. Ariel is to disguise himself as a nymph in order to execute these orders. Ariel then leaves, and Prospero turns to his daughter Miranda, who has woken up from his former sleep at Prospero's behest. Prospero says that they must now go and meet Caliban, who is their slave, though he never talks to them politely. Miranda says that Caliban is a villain whom she doesn't like to even to look. Prospero says that it is necessary for them to meet Caliban because they cannot do without the villain's services. Caliban brings fuel wood for them and lights a fire whenever they need it. Prospero now calls out the name of the Caliban in order to give him an order. Without appearing before his master, Caliban shouts that there is already enough fuel wood in stock, and that it is not necessary for him to appear before Prospero. But Prospero orders him in come immediately because there are other things to be done. Seeing that Caliban is unwilling to carry out his orders, Prospero reminds him also of the favors of which Prospero had done to him. Prospero says that Caliban's nature is inherently evil, and that Caliban is incapable of receiving any print of goodness. Prospero says that originally Caliban did not know how to express his needs and his wants in words, that it was he who had taught Caliban the language of human beings. Caliban replies that he had certainly learnt the human language, but that he uses that language only to utter curses. Then Caliban utters curses upon Prospero, saying, "The red plague read you for learning, me your language." Caliban admits that in the beginning Prospero had been very kind towards him and had been very fond of him, but alleges that afterwards Prospero had become very cruel and had gone to the extent of making him prisoner in a rock and disallowing him to move about freely over the rest of the island. Prospero replies that he would have continued to be kind towards Caliban if Caliban had not proved ungrateful and treacherous towards him by trying to rape Miranda and thus to rob her of her honor. To this, Caliban replies gleefully that he had certainly tried to rape Miranda, and that if he had succeeded in this purpose, he would have begotten many children by his union with her. This is the most insolent reply by Caliban, and Prospero therefore snubs him most harshly, asking him to go and to do the task which had been imposed upon him. Caliban knows that if she is negligent in performing those tasks, Prospero would inflict all kinds of torments upon him, though the spirits over whom Prospero has full command. Ariel's sweet song heard by Ferdinand. As desired by Prospero, the spirit called Ariel appears in the proximity of Ferdinand, who, as we have already been told, had landed safely upon the island, but who is all alone. Ferdinand has the impression that he is most probably the only survivor of all those who were voyaging upon the sea towards Naples. Ariel has so arranged matters that Ferdinand cannot see him. Ariel begins to sing a song in a very sweet voice, and Ferdinand feels astonished to hear a singing voice without there being any sign of singer himself. The song is so sweet that it begins to soothe Ferdinand's heart, which is deeply grieved by the supposed deaths of his father, Alonso, and the others who were in the king's company. Actually, of course, the others are also all safe, as we have already learned from the account of Ariel gave to his master. Prospero Ariel now sings another song in which he mentions Alonso's death by drowning. Ferdinand again feels surprised to hear a song being sung by an invisible being. Miranda, thrilled on seeing Ferdinand. While singing, Ariel has been moving towards Prospero's cell. Prospero and his daughter Miranda have been living in a cell all these years. Ferdinand, unable to resist the sweetness of the song, has been following the direction of the song till he arrives at a place close to Prospero's cell where Miranda happens to see him. Miranda feels amazed and also delighted to see a stranger the like of whom she had never been seen before. At first she thinks that she is seeing only a spirit, but Prospero informs her that the stranger is not the spirit but a human being who was one of the passengers on the wrecked ship and who is perfectly safe. Miranda says that the stranger looks like a heavenly being and that she had never seen anything so noble before. Prospero feels inwardly glad and to find that Miranda is feeling attracted towards Ferdinand, because Prospero wants that Miranda and Ferdinand should fall in love with each other. Miranda's reaction to Prospero's words and Prospero's threat. Ferdinand also feels surprised and delighted to see Miranda on this island. And at first he also thinks she is not a human being but a goddess. He asks her if she is still unmarried, and she replies in the affirmative. He says that he is a king. But Prospero tells him that his claim seems to be false one. Ferdinand says that his father has got drowned in the sea and that he is now naturally become the king of Naples. Miranda feels very sympathetic towards Ferdinand on learning that this young man has lost his father. Ferdinand then says that he would make Miranda the queen of Naples by marrying her. Prospero feels inwardly very happy at Ferdinand's proposal, but Prospero at the same time decides not to make it too easy for Ferdinand to win Miranda as his wife, because a man who gets anything too easily does not value it sufficiently. He therefore calls Ferdinand a traitor for having called himself the king of Naples when there is no certainty that his father has really died. Prospero then threatens to put Ferdinand in prison in order to punish him for having told a lie. Ferdinand says that he would offer him and renders him powerless. Miranda tries to intervene on Ferdinand's behalf because he had already fallen overhead and is in love with him. But Prospero scolds her and asks her not to speak a single word on behalf of the young fellow. Ferdinand now says that he can forget all these losses, including the deaths of his father and all his friends, if he could see Miranda just once a day, even if he is himself confined to a prison. As threatened by Prospero, Prospero now speaks privately to Ariel, praising him for having been successful in bringing Ferdinand to this spot. And Miranda privately tries to console Ferdinand for the harshness of her father towards him, saying that her father is essentially a kind-hearted man, though he has spoken roughly to Ferdinand. On this occasion, Prospero once again bids Miranda not to speak to him on Ferdinand's behalf. Now, it's Act 2, Scene 1. Gonzalo's words of comfort to the King Alonso. Alonso, his brother Sebastian, the old Lord Gonzalo, Prospero's brother Antonio, and some other lords, including Adrian and Francisco, are now talking to one another in another part of the island. All these men were saved from drowning through the supernatural powers of Ariel, who had saved from drowning through the supernatural powers. Who had made the sea waves sweep them from this to the shore, just as he had made the sea waves carry Ferdinand to the shore. Though at a different location, Ariel had subsequently lured Ferdinand to Prospero's cell by the power of his sweet song. Alonso is at that time feeling most dejected because he is under the impression that his son Ferdinand has perished in the sea. Gonzalo is trying to console him in his supposed loss, but Alonso rejected his words of comfort because he feels almost certain that his son is dead. Sebastian and Antonio feel no sympathy for Alonso, and their attitude towards Gonzalo is also one of disrespect. These two men mock at every remark which Gonzalo makes. From the talk of all these men, it appears that King Alonso had taken his daughter Claribel to Tunis in order to have her married to the king there. Ferdinand and all these lords had accompanied him to that country, where the marriage of Claribel to the king of Tunis had duly been performed. It was during their return voyage that the royal fleet of ships had been overtaken by a tempest. While the other ships had escaped from storm, the ship carrying Alonso and his party had received a different kind of treatment from Prospero, who had caused the storm to blow on the sea by his supernatural powers. As we know that Prospero had operated through the spirit called Ariel, who has been serving Prospero for the last several years on this island. Alonso, blamed by Sebastian. Sebastian now tells Alonso that the latter had himself been responsible for the death of his son. If Alonso had not insisted upon having his daughter married in an African king, but had got her married to some European prince, there would have been no need for him and his lords to make a voyage to a distant land of Tunis, and they would not have then encountered a storm on the sea during their return voyage. Gonzalo thereupon points out that Sebastian is aggravating Alonso's grief by holding Alonso responsible for the death of his son Ferdinand. Gonzalo says that Sebastian should provide a healing touch to the king instead of robbing his sword. Gonzalo then changes the subject to talk in order to divert Alonso's attention from his grief to something else. Gonzalo's ideal commonwealth. Gonzalo says that if he were to become the king of the island, he would establish an ideal society here. In his ideal commonwealth, there would be no trade, no learning, no literature, no new college, no wealth, no weapons and status, no crime, no magistrates, no agriculture of war. In this commonwealth, nature herself would produce all things for all the inhabitants without anybody having to work or toil for anything. Antonio and Sebastian now again mock at what Gonzalo has said. Then they say that in Gonzalo's commonwealth there would be no marriages, and that therefore all the women would be whores and all the men would be knaves. Antonio and Sebastian mean to say that in Gonzalo's commonwealth there would be widespread immorality and that men and women would have free sex. Gonzalo now remarks that Antonio and Sebastian have made it by their habit to laugh at anything and everything. A treacherous plot proposed by Antonio. Ariel now appears invisibly at this place with where Alonso and others have been talking among themselves. Ariel has come here in accordance to his master Prospero's instructions. By the power of his music, Ariel now sends all the lords, with the exception of Sebastian and Antonio, to sleep. Alonso is awake, and he feels surprised that most of his lords have suddenly fallen asleep. Sebastian suggests to Alonso that the latter should also go to sleep in order to rest his mind and body. Antonio thereupon says that he and Sebastian would stand guard while Alonso takes rest. Accordingly, Alonso also goes to sleep. Ariel then leaves. Antonio now sows the seeds of rebellion and treason in Sebastian's mind. He insidiously suggests that Sebastian has a bright future before him, and that Sebastian can rise very high in life provided he takes the necessary steps in that direction. Sebastian understands that Antonio is aiming at. but he pretends that he has not understood that Antonio meant to say. Antonio thereupon makes his meaning more clear, though he still speaks a veiled and indirect manner. Antonio says that Alonso's heir to the throne was Ferdinand, who was severely perished during the storm, and that the next heir is Claribel, who is now living in the far-off land of Tunis and who would never know what is going on in her native Naples. What Antonio means is that if Sebastian agrees to the murder of Alonso at this time when Alonso is asleep, Sebastian can become the king of Naples, because Sebastian would then be regarded as a legitimate claimant to the throne. Sebastian says that Antonio had himself previously got rid of the brother Prospero and taken possession to the dukedom of Milan. Antonio says that he had only done the right thing and that he is now enjoying the fruits of his action in having driven away Prospero from Milan. Sebastian asks if Antonio's conscience does not prick him. Antonio replies that even if he had 20 consciences, they would not have prevented him from getting rid of Prospero and becoming the Duke of Milan in his place. Sebastian now feels convinced of his argument put forward by Antonio, who now says further that when Sebastian kills the sleeping Alonso, he would at the very moment murder the sleeping Gonzalo, because Gonzalo is the only lord who can afterwards protest against the murder of Alonso. The plot against Alonso's life was frustrated by Ariel. Sebastian and Antonio then get ready to carry out their plan. Just as this time Ariel reappears in the same invisible shape, Ariel would now like to take the necessary steps to prevent Sebastian and Antonio from carrying out their nefarious scheme. Just when Sebastian and Antonio have drawn their swords to murder Alonso and Gonzalo, Ariel awakens Gonzalo by singing a song in Gonzalo's ear. And opening his eyes, Gonzalo feels surprised to see Sebastian and Antonio with their swords drawn. He wakes up Alonso, who asks that matter is. Sebastian and Antonio says that they had drawn their swords to attack the beast whose roaring they had heard. They say that they heard a roaring which seemed to be that the bulls or lions, and that it had also appeared as if those animals would be rushing in that direction. Alonso and Gonzalo accept this explanation because they do not know the reality of the situation and because no suspicion has arisen in their minds about those two men. Ariel now gets ready to go back to his master Prospero to report to him that he has done so far, and Alonso gets ready to make another search for his missing son.